And before Lisa comes and speaks to us, Mark and Hazel Alder are going to come and read to us from God's Word.
Our first reading is from Psalms 103, verses 8 to 12. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry and full of constant love. He does not keep on rebuking. He is not angry forever. He does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the third chapter, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. To him who by means of his power, working in us, is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will reveal more of your word to us throughout this morning. Enable us to understand it. Open our eyes and our mind to hear and receive. And let it not only inspire us, but transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I was pleased to see the return of one of the most fascinating television programmes I think I've ever seen. The programme I greatly enjoyed was Stargazing. Did anyone else see Stargazing? Was it just me? Oh, I see a few hands going up. Stargazing, with the help of Professor Brian Cox and co-presenter Dara O'Brien, some extraordinary elements of physics were communicated in a way that even I could begin to understand. I really am blown away by some of the incredible things they show. At one point, they explained how a telescope was watching a pulsar. I now know that a pulsar is a star that has exploded. And this pulsar was apparently about the size of a small city, and it was somewhere around 4,500 light years away. How amazing is that? I can't even begin to get my mind around that kind of distance. And maybe it was something about the vastness of space as perhaps he sat and looked into the sky and reflected on his experience of God that inspired the psalmist to write, "As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honour him." When I think of those stars, thousands of light years away, and then I reflect on that verse, well, the greatness of God's love just blows me away too. How can we possibly begin to grasp a love like that? How can we begin to understand and receive it for ourselves, let alone reflect that kind of love in our lives, as we so often say that we should? And especially when we recognise that so often what people know as love is at best just a poor reflection and at times a complete distortion of God's true love. And yet Paul's prayer here is that we, the church, should know the love of Christ in all its fullness. And through knowing it, we should allow it to work in and through our lives. I think Paul picks up the psalmist's idea of the vastness of God's love as he points to the dimensions of the love of Christ. And he prays in verse 18 that we might grasp how broad, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. The language that Paul uses in this prayer is really very poetic, but I don't think that Paul's emphasis was in merely creating a beautifully constructed sentence. There's a hidden depth here that reveals something of the love of Christ that is just beyond measure. Something that we're not only supposed to get hold of, but something which should impact our very being. So let's take a few moments to try and grasp the dimensions of the love of Christ as we reflect on the words that Paul uses. Some of you may remember one of my favourite Sunday school songs, "Wide, wide as the ocean is my Saviour's love." And the love of Christ is so broad, so wide, it is all-encompassing. As you look at the people that Jesus spends time with, you can easily see that Christ's love encompasses all. The teachers and the Pharisees expected Jesus to spend time with people like them. They wanted him to validate their own rules and regulations. And yes, Jesus did spend time in the temple, but he also spent time with a whole host of other people. He spoke to women, which was certainly something that wasn't recommended for a teacher. He valued children. He made friends with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with outcasts, with sinners. How broad is the love of Christ? Surely that love is all-encompassing. And as such, the love of Christ reaches out to you and to me and to people like us. Perhaps there are times when we feel like we're not worthy of the love of Christ. We know what we like. We know the truth about ourselves that perhaps others don't know. And since we know that truth, how could Jesus possibly love us? But the love of Christ is all-encompassing, and as undeserving as every one of us is to receive that love, yet it reaches out and draws us in. It enfolds you and me and those like us, because it's so wide, it reaches out to everybody. And it also reaches out to those who are not like us, who are perhaps not the kind of people that maybe we think that Jesus' love should reach. You know, so often in our world today, people have an image or an idea of what a particular sort of person should be like. Do you remember a couple of years ago, the story of Susan Boyle, who became an overnight sensation? Now, as far as the judges and the media were concerned, Susan Boyle didn't look like a singing star. She didn't fit their mould. And yet through her and what happened to her, people were challenged about the way that they viewed other people, about the way they were quick to make judgments on others. And we can look at them and we can say how wrong they were to have judged Susan Boyle in the way that they did. But if we're not careful, we can also make judgments about others. Like the Pharisees, it can be easy for Christians today to slip into the error of assuming that we know who Jesus should be spending time with. We know who would be most likely to receive his attention and his love. And perhaps those people are the people who fit into our kind of mould, who meet our expectations, people who are like us, people who perhaps we would feel comfortable sitting next to on a Sunday morning. We need to remember the love of Christ is all-encompassing. It breaks down every barrier, every barrier of race and gender and denomination and difference. It unites us as one family under the fatherhood of God. The love of Christ is broad enough for you and for me, and it reaches within the church and beyond the church and encompasses all. And the love of Christ is not only broad, but it's long. It's so long it reaches for eternity. It's an everlasting love that knows no limits or bounds. The love of Christ is an eternal love. And for me, one of the qualities of the love of Christ is the security that it brings. Isn't that what real love does? It's dependable. It brings stability. It's strong enough that even when everything else has gone, this love remains. And it's this element of Jesus' love that impacted me greatly in my own journey of faith. As a teenager, my friendships at school were very unreliable. Now, perhaps school days are a bit like that, where friendships come and they go and people make up and then they break up all the time. But I seem to have more than my fair share of what I now call holiday and sickness friends. You know, the kind of people who want to be with you because their friend is away and they don't want to sit on their own. But when their friend returns, well, everything changes back to the way it used to be. Now, I know real love isn't like that. But it was through that experience that I saw a glimpse of the eternal love of Jesus. A love that is everlasting. A love that is never changing. A love that is constant because Jesus is always interested in me. He always wants to pay attention to me. He cares about the details of my life. A love that is so long that it will last forever. And it was that love that drew me to Jesus. And I know now that the love of Christ is so long, it will always be there for you and for me, reaching out, drawing us in, even when everything else that we trust has gone. The love of Christ goes on. Paul refers to its width and its length, and he also refers to its height. The love of Christ reaches to the heavens. It's love in perfection because it comes from God himself, and God is love. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he also wrote those familiar words that describe the characteristics of true love. Love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, love doesn't boast, love never fails. Now, this description of love, this is the kind of perfect love of Christ. It's a love based entirely upon grace, because not one of us is worthy of a love like that. It's a love that's completely unconditional, a love that's forgiving, and it sees the best in us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We can't win it. We can't earn it. We can't increase it because it's a perfect love. And as that other Sunday school song says, it's so high, you can't get over it. And that mix of awe and wonder that we get when we think about that love surely causes us to worship and praise Jesus for such a wonderful gift. This is the love that Paul yearns for us to grasp in its width and its length and its height, and finally in its depth as well. The love of Christ is so deep, it's simply unfathomable. It's beyond our comprehension. Paul said in verse 19, he wants us to know this love, although it can never be fully known. How can we know what Paul says is so great? It's unknowable. Yes, it is beyond our understanding, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to understand it. Maybe we can never fully grasp God's love, but I think it's when we're being stretched by what is beyond us that we're enabled to grow. So Paul's prayer encourages us to press on, to seek a greater understanding of the love of Christ. And as we think about its depth, I want to emphasise that this isn't an academic exercise that results in us having a great knowledge where we could pass a test 99 or 100% on what we know about the love of Christ. Because we don't want to just know about it. We want to know that love for ourselves. Paul wants us to know how broad, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And why does he want us to know? Because he says it's ours to know through Jesus. In verse 17, he says he wants Jesus to make his home in our hearts or dwell in our hearts so that we are rooted and grounded in his love. We can only begin to grasp it through relationship with Jesus. And like any relationship, that takes time, that takes energy, that takes focus. The love of Christ is there for us, but we need to soak it in. We need to let it touch our lives and cause us to worship. We need to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit so that we can receive that love and so that Jesus can make his home or dwell in our hearts. This word dwell, or the idea of making a home, it suggests permanence. It's not used in the context of a visitor. It's about one who's taken up residence. Our lives should be so permeated by Jesus that as he dwells within us, his love transforms us. And I was trying to get a sense of what that might look like. What does that mean? And as I was thinking about it, I remembered an advert that was on, I was thinking a few years ago, but I think probably I'm going to show my age a bit, and it was a lot more than a few years ago. It was an advert for tea bags. And I can't remember which tea bags they were, but I've got a feeling they were Tetley tea bags. And they had a particular phrase. Now, I know I'm not going to do this phrase justice because I'm an Essex girl born and bred, and this phrase wasn't said in an Essex accent. But the idea was that these tea bags let flavour flood out. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember that advert? Let flavour flood out. I think it said flood out, actually. Now, that's the image that came to my mind. As we come to know the love of Christ, as that floods through us, it should transform us, it should fill us up to the measure of the fullness of God, and then it should pour out through us to touch the world around us. That really, we are the vessels of God's love, and that love should flood out through us. And this is what I think begins to happen when we begin to grasp the love of God. We get blown away by the love of Jesus. It impacts who we are, as we know that love for ourselves, but it impacts the way we are with others because it transforms our attitudes and our behaviour. And that's part of Paul's prayer here. He doesn't just want us to know this love, as amazing it is for ourselves. He wants us to know it so that we can show it to others as well. And I think there can be times sometimes for Christians when we know this love so much, where we begin to treasure it, that we almost feel a bit possessive over it. Yet Paul's letter to the Ephesians was to help them to understand their purpose as God's church. He's chosen to use us, his church, to show his love. To shine like stars in the darkness, to demonstrate his love so that others can be drawn into his family. That's why Paul wanted to emphasize the unity that we have as children of God. And he speaks about us being the family of God, having one Father. The love of Jesus breaks through the barriers and cuts through the divisions. And for the church in Ephesus, at that time, they had to come to terms with the fact that this meant it reached out to Jews, and it also reached out to Gentiles. But for us, there's still a challenge today. What does this wonderful love look like from the church to people outside the church? What about to those who perhaps aren't accepted socially? How do we react to the person who has a different faith or who's from a different denomination? Or whose values or lifestyle or ideals don't match up to ours? What does the love of Christ look like then? The love of Christ is not only all-encompassing from Jesus, But if our lives are truly transformed by that love, then surely that love should flow from within us as well. A well-known Australian theologian speaks about the differences in farming communities around the world. And he says in many countries, farmers build fences to keep their animals in and to keep other animals out. But in Australia, where ranches are vast, you can't possibly put a fence around the area. And so a farmer makes a well in the centre of his land. Now, water is precious in the outback, and so although the animals might wander off, they never stray too far because they always return to the well for water, and it keeps them in that kind of location. And he suggests that maybe this is a picture of how the church should be. Rather than slipping into the error of keeping certain people in and certain people out, shouldn't we as the church be showing people God's love, the wellspring of life from which they can be nourished and find stability? Shouldn't we point them in the direction of that well and let it draw them to Jesus? And I think this is a challenge for us as believers, because even though we might think we want to welcome everyone, I'm sure there are times in our lives where subconsciously we make those quick judgments, and perhaps we're not as gracious or accepting as we might be. But our call as Christians is to show Jesus' love to all people, just as he did, and to point them to the source of that true love. This perfect, unfathomable, eternal love of Christ is ours to know. And perhaps we will be able to understand a bit more of that love as we look through the Looking for Love course. But if we truly allow this love to permeate our lives, it should also be a love we show, a love that encompasses all, a love that reaches to the depths of our hearts and to the ends of the earth. My prayer is that we might all be blown away by the love of Jesus as we come to know more of it for ourselves, and through that we're able to show it more effectively to those around us. Let's take a few moments of silence and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Loving God, as we sung the words earlier, your love is amazing. And we know we never can truly comprehend the depth of your love for us. But Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to understand more of your love, to receive it for ourselves, to know that complete and utter acceptance that we find in you. And as we know what it means to be truly loved, that we might also show that love to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.